NPR.
It's Valentine's Day.
Yes, it is. The day that celebrates love and relationships and feelings.
Not things you would typically associate with economics.
No. Economics is definitely tied to the small fortune a lot of people spend on Valentine's Day, but not to the substance of it.
And yet, economics actually does have a lot to do with love and relationships and feelings. That is according to one of our favorite economist couples.
Betsy Stevenson and Justin Wolfers. They're both very accomplished economists at the University of Michigan. They work together a lot and have just co-authored a new economics textbook, Principles of Economics. And in it, they argue that economics is everywhere.
Including in love and relationships. In fact, they say they've used economics to make their most personal and important life decisions. This is the Indicator from Planet Money. I'm Cardiff Garcia.
And I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. Today on the show, economists in love.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Warby Parker, creating boutique-quality eyewear and offering eyeglasses, sunglasses, and contacts, including their very own daily contact lens, Scout. Try on 5 frames at home for free at warbyparker.com/indicator.
Support also comes from Eno, the Capital One assistant that catches things that might look wrong with your credit card, sends you an alert, and helps you fix them. Another way they're watching out for your money when you're not. What's in your wallet? See CapitalOne.com for details.
Betsy Stevenson, Justin Wolfers, happy Valentine's Day and welcome to the show.
Yes, happy Valentine's Day. Okay, so speaking of which, you know, economists tend to look at the world a little differently than most people. How do you guys approach Valentine's Day? Do you approach it differently than your non-economist couple friends?
I can't stand going out for dinner on Valentine's Day.
Why?
The food is worse. It's more expensive. The costs for essentially the exact same experience skyrocket. And so it's very easy for Justin and I to talk about that. So, you know,
do you feel
for
bad?
Us,
like, would you not want to get roses on Valentine's Day?
Roses on Valentine's Day? Are you kidding? They're so expensive. Have you seen how the price changes?
So
the choice is
one dozen roses today or a dozen roses on each of the next 4 weekends. What would you choose, Stacey?
I don't know.
Yes, so think about that.
Wouldn't it be to have an economist partner so you could say, this is what I want?
Your standard non-economist couple, the wife might say, did you not buy me roses today because they're ridiculously expensive? Or is it because you're not thinking of me? That's why she wants that sort of costly signal of the flowers on Valentine's Day. I think the fact that we have a clearer language for that means that I can look for some other signal. Just to circle it all the way back, there are definitely some ways in which non-economists roll their eyes at the decisions we make. And perhaps the most notorious one was our choice not to get married.
But you have 2 children. You're committed partners. Why did you decide not to get married?
It comes back to the question, what is marriage? Think about it, for richer, for poorer, for better, for worse, in sickness and in health, till death do us part. That's an insurance contract. For richer, for poorer, that's basically unemployment insurance. In sickness and in health, that's health insurance.
Or wage insurance.
Death do us part, that's basically an annuity. It's social security. I'm going to keep looking after you no matter how long you live. So what is marriage? Marriage is a commitment. There are other ways of being committed. Betsy and I have 2 kids. I really like my kids. I like them so much, it would be really hard to spend time away from them. So even if Betsy and I are going through a hard time, I will be committed to her, partly because I like Oliver and Matilda. So we're no less committed than a formerly married couple. We just used a different commitment device. If that all sounded a little bit deep, I just want you to know that this was the first research paper that Betsy and I ever wrote together, and
really?
It was very early on in our relationship.
On a date, we started discussing this issue. Justin said, well, I think if you make it easier to get divorced, you might see men become more violent as they try to prevent their spouses from leaving. And I said, no, I think if you make it easier to get divorced, I think you'll see women pick up and go faster. And
so
I'm
does
pleased.
Does that sound like a romantic date or what?
Yeah.
For a second or third date. And I want to say, you know, when you get to the end of a meal and you hope things are going well, I knew they were when Betsy said, well, let's get the data.
I'll be honest. I thought you guys were just going to say there's a marriage tax penalty.
There's that too, mate.
I feel like Justin stopped before we got to the important punchline, which is, you know, it did take us several years of research that we finally published in one of the leading economics journals. But I was right.
Hey, you go where the data takes you.
I mean, do you deal with other questions this way? Like if you...
Oh,
of course.
Yes.
There was a certain point where Betsy said to me, given my age, Justin, we have to figure out whether to have kids or not. And so we did what any sensible person would do. We downloaded the general social survey and regressions.
Really?
For sure. We looked at the happiness of people with kids, without kids. And I'll tell you, the sad thing is, every regression I ran, no matter how much I tried to say, well, what if you're highly educated? What if you have a lot of income? People with kids are less happy than equivalent people without kids. And so we looked at the data and we still chose to have kids. The reason I like this particular story is you don't have to do exactly what the data says, but you do want to look at the data so you're walking in making a really informed choice.
And in this new book that the two of you wrote together, did you apply economic thinking to relationships?
We use applications of economics that resonate with students. The classic example of the sunk cost fallacy is we all have that friend who's been in a relationship with someone for 2 or 3 years and it's not working out. And they say, but I can't bear to break up with him or her because I've been with them for so long. That's sunk cost thinking. My students all have that friend.
That makes me sad.
Yeah,
but I yes.
No, but once you've learned, once you've learned the sunk cost fallacy, you dump that guy or girl and go and form a great new healthy relationship. It's a beautiful story.
Well, this is where actually the opportunity cost principle comes in, because you're sitting there, you think this relationship's not working out, but I've put 2 years into it. I want to be absolutely certain that it's not going to work before I leave. But you're forgetting that every day you spend in that, you're giving up the chance to be out there trying to meet somebody new.
It does make me wonder if there's room in your model, if that's the right word, for a certain amount of healthy irrationality. What I'm thinking specifically of is a certain amount of self-deception that seems to be necessary sometimes in a relationship, especially when like things are tough. And it's healthy, it seems to me, for somebody to think, well, look, things suck right now, but this is the love of my life. We're definitely going to get through it.
Economists have learned about thinking in hot states versus cool states. And in hot states, people do tend to make mistakes in terms of long run thinking, overweighting today versus that long run. It is absolutely a technique that I use when I'm angry at Justin,
which never happens,
is to think about who will want to talk to me about that goofy thing that my kid did when he was 5 in 15 years, or special occasions we've had. All those memories, those are going to be there in 15 years. So that's the return from the investment I've made. And so I have to counter that with, well, what would it be like if I didn't have that return and was out there looking for something new?
Opportunity cost principle, sunk cost fallacy, cost benefit. The variable that matters in all of those is time. And I think maybe that's why people don't think of applying economics to relationships more, as they associate economics with money. But time is the thing that matters in everything you just said.
Economics isn't about money. Money is just the measuring stick that economists tend to use. What we really care about is, you know, what you're giving up.
There's different kinds of opportunity costs. If I'm thinking about buying a shirt, I need to think about the money that'll cost me. If I'm thinking about eating a donut, I need to think about the number of calories that'll cost me, right? And the question really is, you know, what is it that's scarce for you? When I'm on a diet, often it's calories that are scarce.
And for people who are seeking a romantic relationship, the thing that's missing is love.
Absolutely.
So by doing other things, that's what you're giving up.
Yeah.
Thanks so much to Betsy Stevenson and Justin Wolfers for participating. This episode of The Indicator was produced by Lena Sonsgiri. It was edited by Alex Goldmark. It was fact-checked by Brittany Cronin. And The Indicator is a production of NPR.
By the way, Justin and Betsy ended up spending Valentine's Day taking a painting class together. If you'd like to see a photo of them and their paintings, you can see it on our Twitter feed. That is @TheIndicator.